Of all the old Gaiety productions, few have more appeal than the melodies written by Sidney Jones in The Geisha. There are not many in our musical comedy theater tonight who cannot recall times when songs from The Geisha were not only welcome, but inevitable. Tonight, a crowded audience will see a gala performance of this old favorite, which was written in the Placid Edwardian era, when Japan was a land as remote as Lilliput, when all the men in the street knew of the Japanese was that they were a somewhat comic and droll race, fond of quaint ceremonial, much given to arranging flowers, painting on silk, and drinking aromatic tea served by sing-song girls, graceful and pliant. Time and war shattered these picturesque notions, but the geisha remains unsullied as a musical treat. When the curtain rises, the first thing we see is the tea house of 10,000 joys, where the Jolly Jack Tars, headed by Reggie Fairfax, have just arrived for some shore leave.
Of all the lads that be, there is only one for me, and his home is on the waters deep and blue. And a friend he'll never lack, for the world's in love with Jack. He's the smartest and the best of fellows too. So his hand we like to grip as he goes aboard his ship, and the girls are fit to break their pretty hearts. For he loves them by the score when he gaily comes ashore, and they're sad when their Jack departs. Jack's the boy for work, Jack's the boy for play, Jack's the lad when girls are sad to kiss their tears away. Ah, hard as nails afloat, best of friends ashore, Jack ahoy, you're just the boy that all our hearts adore. Jack's the boy for work, Jack's the boy for play, Jack's the lad when girls are sad to kiss their tears away. Ah, best of friends ashore, Jack ahoy, just ahoy.
Nothing pleased a musical comedy audience more than to see a team of hale and hearty Jack Tars, preferably officers, dancing on from the wings in faultless tropic kit, ready for amorous sport with dusky native belles. The colour bar was blithely condoned by the Edwardian librettists, so here's Reggie Fairfax of the Royal Navy getting, oh, so involved with One High's most popular geisha's apprentice, O Mimosa San. And being the leading lady, she makes her first stage entrance with no little ceremony. Lady Constance and the English ladies seat themselves under the cherry trees. The naval types drape themselves around the pillars of the tea house. Then Mimosa enters, followed by Nami, who places a cushion for her right center. Mimosa turns and beckons to Fairfax to join her. He comes downstage, and Nami brings him a stool, which she places next to Mimosa, who begins her song, the story of that most celebrated and amorous goldfish.
Her soul inside her daily
British ladies who accompany Lady Constance to the tea house are shocked to find the young Englishman spending so much of their time here, and particularly Reggie Fairfax. For is not Reggie engaged to Molly Seymour, a girl of most excellent lineage? And alas, Omar Moser Sen knows only too well that English officers never marry geishas, and Reggie Fairfax, for all his protestations, is only a wolf in ship's clothing. And here he is now teaching her that quaint Western custom of kissing. "What is a kiss?" says Mimosa San. "Well," says Reggie, "it goes like this.
You're a charming little geisha, quite the nicest girl in Asia. But I fear there's something missing, oh, my pretty Japanese. English, French, and German misses, do not ask me what a kiss is. They are all expert at kissing.
Will you teach me, if you please? I believe I'm quick and clever, and I promise I'll endeavor in the task to do.
Objected to my view. Little maiden, wonder laden, every day learned something new.
Reggie Fairfax is by no means Mimosa Sen's only admirer. Captain Katana of the Guards has extracted a promise of marriage from her. But the man who has power of life and love over the geishas is the influential Marquis Imari, governor of the province and chief of police as well. He has decreed that the exquisite little mimosa blossom shall be worn in his lapel and orders Wan Hai, the Chinese proprietor of the tea house, to have her ready for the marriage ceremony the next day. While Wan Hai trots off to break the news to her, the geishas are joined by Mademoiselle Juliette, a saucy little mousme of French origin. And there is much fluttering of fans and giggling as the English officers begin to flirt in earnest. Molly Seymour, Reggie's fiancée, is one of those intrepid English women who are never so happy as when shooting tigers in Bengal or serving the empire heavily disguised in the national costume of Tibet or Mesopotamia. She discovers that Reggie is having a flutter with Omar Moser Sen. A lesser woman would swoon or die of a broken heart, but not Molly Seymour. "I'll give Master Reggie geishas," says she, and the next time we see her, she's become a geisha herself. Just the kind of girl a tired mandarin likes to have pouring out his afternoon tea. Roly-poly, she calls herself, with plenty singy-dancy and kissy-kissy too, you watchy.
And the people call me Roly-poly-san.
Roly-san.
Lost in admiration, utter at the variegated flutter of my cleverly manipulated fan. I can dance to any measure that is gay.
That is gay.
To and fro in dreamy fashion I can sway.
She can sway.
And if still my art entices, then at extra special prices, I can dance for you in quite another way. Chunkina, chunkina, chun, chunkina, kina, na, is a yo, ha, ha, ma, ho, ha, da, day, hoy.
Chunkina.
fancied that quite an oriental belle.
Only swell.
And they tell me I perform extremely well.
Very well.
On the Samson Okoto, while my very latest photo is an article that's always sure to sell. When they tell me over dainty cups of tea,
cups of tea,
the attractions of the Chaya come to see.
Come to see.
Rich and haughty, poor and lonely, call for pretty roly-poly. Every customer is sure to order me. Chunkina, Chunkina, Chun, Chunkina, Kina, Nankasa, Yokohama, Hokkada, Tehoi.
Chunkina, Chunkina, Chun, Chunkina, Kina, Nankasa, Yokohama, Hokkada, Tehoi.
When the Marquis Imari discovers that One High has played One Low trick on him by permitting Mimosa Sand to continue her romance with Reggie Fairfax, he orders the tea house of 10,000 joys to be sold up and the apprentice geishas to be sold to the highest bidder. But Lady Constance outbids him and gets Mimosa Sand for $10,000. What she will do with a geisha on her hands in London isn't quite clear. But Molly Seymour, alias Roly-Poly, is knocked down to the Marquis for a mere song, which is one that the musical comedy audience has been waiting for avidly. The Old Monkey on a Stick. Resume with Molly and the Monkey on a Stick.
Poor little maiden who loves a bit of fun learns her propensity to rue. Just look at me, what a pretty thing I've done. Here's a delightful how-to-do. A precious pickle I'm in, foolish little Molly, punished for your folly. A wooden monkey climbing isn't on a stick like you. Click, click, I'm a monkey on a stick. Anyone with me can play. And my auntie will enjoy till he finds a new toy when he'll wish me a polite good day.
Click, click, I'm a monkey on a stick. Anyone with me can play.
And my auntie will enjoy till he finds a new toy
when he'll wish me a polite good day.
The scene switches to the grounds of Marquis Imari's palace. It is the day of chrysanthemum fete in honor of his marriage to Roly-Poly. The musicians are all there with their samisens. For it's to be a real Japanese wedding with real sake and a real Japanese band. Fairfax is there too, leaning mournfully against the palace entrance, wondering what he can do to prevent the headstrong Molly from becoming the wife of a Japanese marquis. Only now does he realize that Molly, not Mimosa, is the star of his soul.
How can I wait when she I worship only, friendless and fair, my health may sorely need? How can I wait and leave her sad and lonely, counting the hours that all too slowly speed? Earth has no grace that does not cling about her. Life has no charm if mine she may not be. Star of my soul, I cannot live without her. Oh, grant this day may give her back to me. Dream, oh my dearest, till we meet once more. Daydreams
of happiness again in store. Dreams of a future that our fate may hold. Past in the wonderland of love and toil.
Deprived of his tea house and his geishas, Wan Hai the Chinaman has fallen on evil days. His only companion is the little French geisha girl, Mademoiselle Juliette. And it looks as though Wan Hai will shortly have to go back to the old laundry game, right where he started. To the assembled wedding guests, he pitches his tale of woe.
And now, he says, Wan Hai him sing dancey, then go round with Hattie. Money makey all her life long. Washy washy wants me takey washy washy wrong. Oh, when me thinky steely collars, fleecy manny come. Me get finey $5, plenty matchy sum. Chin chin Chinaman, muchy muchy sad. Me a flayed all a clayed, willy willy bad. No he jokes, stony bloke, makey shut the shop. Chin chin Chinaman, chop chop chop.
Chin chin Chinaman, muchy muchy sad.
When me get a catty chitty playing glitchy card, Chinaman they all will beat the kicky willy hard. Oh, when me take his icy placey, make it plenty tea. He get getting all this crazy and they silly me. Chin chin Chinaman, munchy munchy sad. Me a played all a played, willy willy bad. No he jokes, stony bloke, make it shut the shop. Chin chin Chinaman, chop chop chop.
Chin chin Chinaman, munchy munchy sad. He a played all a played, willy willy bad. No he jokes, stony bloke, make it shut the shop. Chin chin Chinaman, chop chop chop.
But the wedding festivities are interrupted by the arrival of a fortune teller. A mysterious young woman who looks strangely like O Mimosa San. Convinced that Reggie Fairfax will never marry her, but is genuinely in love with Molly, she promises him that she will rescue the English girl from the clutches of the Marquis by a cunning plan. The Marquis is very intrigued by the arrival of the fortune teller, and being superstitious, is terrified when she produces from her box of tricks the dreaded Black Fate card. It is written that if the one on whom the black fate has fallen be not truly loved by his bride, the most hideous disasters and punishments will befall him. Beware of the bride whom does not love her husband. The guests all gasp with horror. The Marquis groans.
Oh, why did I let this she-fiend come here? Is there no antidote?
Only if he of the black fate be truly loved by his bride, says the fortune teller. Overcome, Imari staggers into the wings. Fairfax enters and is informed by the fortune teller Mimosa San that her plot is working, that soon Molly will have her freedom again. For it is the French geisha, Mademoiselle Juliette, who will be waiting under the bridal canopy when Imari hands her the nuptial cup. Overjoyed, Fairfax comes down into the spotlight and with fire and fervor bursts into song.
Oh, little laughing god of love, in kindly mood you seem to me, though seated on your perch above. You smile at lovers misery. For man to you is but a toy, and yet you sometimes deign to hear. Today you fill my heart with joy. Today you give me back my laughing
at all. Mischievous Cupid with amorous dart, man's at your mercy, for you his heart.
The Saki Bowls are brought onto the stage by the magnificently costumed attendants. On one side, they set the bridal bowl. On the other, one for the groom. The Marquis enters again and orders the ceremony to proceed at once. The brimming cups of sake are brought to him. Japan is the only country in the world where you drink the rice at a wedding in the form of sake. And then the bride advances under her canopy.
Drink this cup, my bride, and you will be my wife.
The geisha takes the cup and tosses it off at one draught. Cluck, 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 and says, I will make a most charming bride, cher Marquis.
Dear heaven, he gasps. Aren't I the careless one? I have married the wrong geisha.
But by now, the right geisha, Roly Poly, alias Molly Seymour, is in the arms of Reggie Fairfax, thanking her stars that this time she'll be the wife of an Englishman, with every intention of having her own way. And to point the moral and bring down the curtain, she sings the song of the parrot in the gilded cage.
A parrot once resided in a pretty gilded cage. Sarcastic was his temper and uncertain was his age. He knew the two canaries had apartments overhead who'd only very recently been wed. He kept an eye on all that they were doing.
Parrot in a nasty frame of mind,
and vowed he'd stop their billing and their cooing,
which really was exceedingly unkind, exceedingly unkind.
Polly winked his eye, and Polly gave a sigh, and Polly took his best hat down. He called on Mrs. C and took a cup of tea. When Mr. C had gone to town, then wisely wagged his head and seriously said,
well, husbands are a lot, a pretty one you've got. Such tales I never heard, so dissolute a bird I never met before. What goings on, oh Lord!
Polly winked his eyes, and Polly gave a sigh, and Polly took his best hat down. He called on Mrs. C and took a cup of tea when Mr. C had gone to town.
He left the poor canary with her spirits rather low. But when she got her husband home, her tongue began to roll. In vain he tried caresses and attempted to deny. The silly little bird began to cry.
The bird began to cry.
She told him that she knew he loved another.
A shocking accusation for a little bird to make.
And said she meant to go and see her mother.
A very silly step for her to take. A silly step to take.
Polly winked his eye, and Polly gave a sigh, and Polly took his best hat down. He knew there'd be a fuss, so jumping on a bus, he called on Mr. C in town. Then wisely wagged his head and seriously said,
a pretty wife you've got, I see you've had it hard. And bless your heart, it's true, she's just as bad as you. Directly you are gone, oh, don't she carry on. Oh, oh.
Polly winked his eyes, and Polly gave a sigh, and Polly bought a special son. He read the full reports of what occurred in court, and chuckled at the mischief done.
Mr. Cupid with amorous dart.
The curtain comes down, and an audience grateful for the revival of these endearing old tunes, humming now this melody, now that, drifts out into the night, homeward bound from the musical comedy theater.